Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And he's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, who presents all of Ira's work. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start shopping immediately. And when you get there, you'll see some incredible tools on ordering your new vehicle. It's so simple. They've made it easy. Plus, no deposit. And they're going to give you $150 in gift cards just for ordering a vehicle. And you can get the Ira Kaufman discount. And GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally. It's unbeatable. Oh, Ira, I almost forgot the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. All the information is at Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. We're fired up. Later this month, we'll have JoeBucksFan.com draft guru doing his annual mock draft on the podcast. We have had a lot of fun with that, and we're looking forward to it. That's Sean Sullivan, the guy to reach out to right at Bill Curry Ford. And we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Big Storm Beer. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. You can find the tap rooms, but more important, you can find the beer where you can get it. All over the Tampa Bay area and beyond, and New Jersey, many other states, BigStormBrewery.com. Try a Bromosa today, their top seller, their Tangerine IPA. And thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your phone call when you have a problem in your home, fire, flood, wind, any kind of damage, mold, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, you were at One Buck Palace yesterday, marching around, doing what you do. But how are you, Ira? Tell us about that and what's going on in your life.
Stevie, I got a major announcement here. And I, even though Mr. DeCamper was out there at One Buck with me on Tuesday, I'm not sure he noticed this. We have an official changing of the guard. DeCamper, you better sit down for this one. And wait till I tell the guy that is affected by this. I'm going to see him in about a week. Wait till I tell him what the hell's going on. He's going to go crazy. I got the second cubicle at One Buck Palace, which opened, I believe, in 2006, when the Bucks promptly went 4-12 with Bruce Gradkowski at the helm. And ever since that day, I've had that second cubicle spot, Lee. And the first spot with the guy's name on a plaque was Mr. Roy Cummings. And I walk in there yesterday. I'm very happy to be back in the media workroom. Mm. And not only is Cummings' name off the plaque of Cubicle 1, but sitting there to my left is one Leo Haggerty. So I now have Leo Haggerty instead of Roy Cummings. Haggerty's name is not up there on the plaque. He didn't say anything about it. I don't think he's going to push for it. He's just happy to have a seat in the media room. But for 16 years, that plaque read Roy Cummings, and now it's been discarded. What do you think of that, Isbitz?
Who's Roy Cummings?
You guys are unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Show a little class, gentlemen. Show a little class.
That room has all the personality of a waiting room and an emergency room.
Lee, what is it about that workroom that gets under your skin, Lee? Well, what is it?
Unlike Steve, I don't want to say. It's just not one of my favorite places. Let's just say the people who traffic in there aren't exactly on my Christmas card list. Not everybody, but it's just not a welcoming place. It's just not one of my favorite places.
Well, I'm a big Leo Haggerty fan, Iris, so I'm glad you have a new roommate there. But in all seriousness, what else is going on, Sage? And what did you see at One Buck? What kind of vibe did you get from these players?
Well, Lavonte David, Tristan Wirfs, Keanu O'Neal, it all comes back to number 12. I mean, it does. Everybody was asked the same question. Where were you on that day? I think it was March 13th when Brady, quote-unquote, unretired. They're telling stories. I was with my mother. I was on a patio. I was driving. I couldn't believe it. I got a tweet. That's what it's all about, guys. When you boil everything down, I don't want to hear any nonsense about the ultimate team sport. I thought the best quote, Lee, that came out of it was by Tristan Wirfs, who, by the way, Lee, he's a pretty good quote, Tristan Wirfs.
Hey, he's an outgoing guy, nice guy.
I feel like buying him a pair of shoes, Lee, but that's a subject for another day. But he's not a bad quote. And you know the way I gravitate towards O-linemen anyway. I'm going to be in Worf's grill all season long if we're back in that locker room, which I think we will be. Steve, the quote of the day was from Worf's, "The window's back open." That's the way everybody feels. Levante David looking at Blaine Gabbert, you know, and wondering what the heck's going on. I'm 32 years old. Just the way my career is going to end with Blaine Gabbert. Of course, he's not going to say that. But I just thought the specter of Tom Brady hung over that whole media room, that whole interview room. And Keanu Neal, Lee, I thought he was very well-spoken, highly intelligent, articulate. And I think, you know, the more you think about it, that's a pretty darn savvy signing by the Bucks. And he's sure happy to be here.
The first thing I thought about Neal, he could be working for a TV network as an anchor or something.
He's
very intelligent guy, very well-spoken. He could be your typical fill-in-the-blank NFL analyst on NFL Network or FS1 or whatever. He could be a news anchor. He just really impressed me in that respect. But yeah, I mean, forget the media studio and the podiums. That whole building, Tom Brady hovers over that whole building. The whole flipping building. It's all about Tom Brady. Anybody that says otherwise is trying to con you.
Ira, when you said the window's back open, I thought you were referring to you using the bathroom in the media room, keeping that window open.
And by the way, Steve, one more thing about Keanu Neal, and let's put this to bed. Forget about this hybrid safety linebacker stuff. There ain't no hybrid about it. He's not a linebacker. Lee, remember that guy Deion Buchanan that played for Arians in Arizona? He's a hybrid. We use him here. We use him there. Turned out the guy couldn't play. I mean, he didn't help him at all.
He's over the hill, yeah.
Yeah, so Neal's a defensive back. He's a safety, and that's what he is. And that's when he was effective with the Falcons. And don't try to turn him into something he's not.
I envision them using him in the box quite a bit.
But he's still on the field as a safety.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to pigeonhole him. I think they're going to, you know, like at times they've used Antoine Winfield in the box. At times they did that with Jordan Whitehead. And I foresee them doing the same thing with Neal.
Well, Sage, look, he's probably going to replace Jordan Whitehead if he can play and if he's up to it and fits the defense as well as they think he might. But, you know, it'd be nice to have some competition back there. But Ira, I got to ask you this. I'm sitting there, I'm watching all these news conferences at $1. Players reported back for duty on Monday, but it was a unique situation because normally they would have reported later, but with a new head coach, were allowed to report back early. And so Bowles sort of was compromising because he knew many players had made plans because they didn't think they had to report yet. And so some guys came back, a mix of veterans, younger guys, and, you know, it's the offseason, no big deal. But that's what was going on at $1, just, you know, some interviews for players who reported back. And what I was trying to figure out, Ira, is it seemed like not one player said a word, unless I missed it. Nobody said a word about the loss of the greatest coach in Buccaneers history. It's like a footnote. Todd Bowles, Levante David said something like, reminds me of when Dirk started, but nobody really lamented the loss of Arians. No, I don't know. I was surprised, Ira.
You're very adept at getting to the heart of the matter. You don't spend a lot of time with riffraff and extraneous stuff. Your feeling was shared by me coming out of that room. I didn't ask any questions, but if I did, maybe I should have. I was going to ask about the impact that Bruce Arians made on this organization for guys that have been here since 2019, and there's a lot of them. And you're right. People talked about the smooth transition. People talked about Bowles. He's a mastermind. He's going to put us in the right positions. Now, I don't expect Keanu Neal to talk about Bruce Arians. I understand that. But Levante David sure could have and didn't. Joe Tryon could have and didn't. So could Wirfs. And it was like he had never been here. Lee, it was a little mysterious. Now, nobody was asked a direct question about Coach Arians. I understand that part. But, geez, this thing just happened 2 weeks ago, Lee. I mean, you know, for a football team, that's kind of a cataclysmic event, especially with the timing of it. And, you know, Levante David through the wars with all these different coaches and gets to the promised land with Arians, and then in the second round of the playoffs with Arians, and I don't know if he ever mentioned his name. It is a little interesting.
Well, I got to be fair. They were never asked about Arians. They were asked about Bulls. They were never asked about Arians. They didn't have any opening statements. So I think it's a little bit unfair to say, well, they didn't even talk about Arians. Well, they weren't given the opportunity, come to think of it. Any of these media availabilities, when they do go up to a podium, I don't recall it. Very few times they've had opening statements. They're just, boom, they've hit with questions. So I got to be fair. I think that's a bit of a reach that, you know, oh my gosh, they didn't talk about Arians, so maybe they didn't like him. But where I think Steve may be leading to, and you may be leading to, Ira, and I firmly believe this, Arians is going to be missed by this team. How many times did we hear of Arians confronting a player coming off the field, like, what the hell are you doing? Where were you? You know, there's a little bit of edge Arians had with these guys. I remember Sean Murphy Bunting talking about his very first preseason game. Arians went up to him after the game, where were you? Meaning, I didn't even see you make any plays. Where were you? I've personally seen Arians jump on guys, whether it's Gronkowski, whether it's Scotty Miller, whether it's Jalen Darden, whether it's Alex Kappa, just jump all over him in practice and cuss him out, if not throw him off the field. So I don't see Bowles having that same personality. I'm not saying Bowles is going to be undisciplined, but I think that edge the Arians brought to the team is going to be missed.
It's an interesting angle, Lee. You talk to Bowles, and he kind of describes himself, Steve, as a guy that uses sarcasm a lot. Well, that's kind of opposed to the Arians approach, which was right in your face, Steve. You didn't have to read anything between the lines. There's no attempt at humor. You know, you suck today. And what the hell were you thinking? You weren't thinking. When I was talking to Ron Wolf last week about Todd Bowles, and Ron Wolf hired Todd Bowles in Green Bay, I saw him as a scout, and then recommended him as a coach and followed him in New York. It was kind of a throwaway line, Steve, but Ron Wolf said that during Bowles' tenure in New York, there was a suggestion in the media that Bowles wasn't very tough on players. He just wasn't. He was a little soft. When things go, you know, awry, he let things slide. He didn't get in guys' faces. So it's interesting that Lee would bring that dimension of Arians' coaching style up. I don't know. Bowles is going to have a different style. He says he's sarcastic, Steve, but it's going to be a different voice in the room come Monday morning. And they go over that film. It's going to be very different in that big meeting room.
Ira, what do you think about this? You've heard this cliche many times, that a team often takes on the personality of its coach. And I don't know how much I buy into that, but I do believe there's something to that. And I do believe that the Bucks played with a little bit of an edge. And if you want to say that came from Arians, okay, I'll buy it. What do you think of that?
Well, it's been said many times. I would say this. The 1988 Bucks certainly had the personality of Ray Perkins, which was to say none. they dunk. And by the way, young Vincent Testaverde threw 35 interceptions that season. It was his second pro season. So, you know, in some ways, you know, you want to use the Greg Schiano example. Next thing you know, they had Mercer. Draw your own conclusion over there, Steve. But I understand what Lee's saying. I'm talking about the Bucks of the last 2 years with the swag and the confidence level. I don't know how much of that came from Arians and how much of it came from knowing that Brady was on your side. That's a tough one. But they were certainly a confident bunch, Steve. When they took the field, they certainly thought they were the best team out there anytime they took the field.
Sage, a couple of things. The Ron Wolf angle that you mentioned there of him mentioning to you, and I don't recall seeing it in your column, but him mentioning to you that Bowles was not very in your face when it came to issues with players and didn't.
That was the perception.
Perception was that it was not very, that he was not very all over it or very direct. And of course, Wolf, like you said, was on the consulting team that hired him, so he had some insight beyond a typical talking head or a fan. I find that interesting because that's not very Bill Parcells-like. And the Bill Parcells clan says, hey, Bowles is our guy. And you know, Parcells and those coaches in that tree were very much in your face type. So I find that a little interesting on the surface.
Well, Steve, you might believe in the principles of Bill Parcells, but that doesn't mean you have the style, the personal style of Parcells. Oh, I mean, he's a one-off leader. There ain't too many Parcells out there.
I understand the loudest coach doesn't always win. I mean, that's not what it's about. But I just thought that was an interesting contrast. Yeah. I'm glad Lee mentioned opening statement by the players regarding Arians. I brought this up many times, Ira, but it's I think it's more poignant here because how much we and every other show apparently and every other fan have talked so much about Brady and the Bucks allowing, or Brady specifically, allowing the perception of a rift between him and Arians to hang out there. This was a golden opportunity for Buccaneers media relations to say to Lavonte David or these other guys, hey, feel free to go out there and make an opening statement about Bruce Arians and what he meant to this team. You know, it's going to look good for Coach. A lot of bullshit out there about Arians and Brady. Feel free to speak to that if you want to. That's what a proactive media relations team does if they want to change perception. It was right there for the taking. Or they could have gone to the Sage and said, hey, Ira, feel free to ask Lavonte David about Bruce Arians and bring that up. And, you know, so it'll obviously prompt him to speak his mind on that front. They didn't do any of that. And in my mind, that leaves it open to speculation, which they didn't have to do. Again, anybody could ask these guys questions, but if you want to be an organization that wants to kill that line of narrative at every possible scenario, they didn't do it yesterday.
I think the prevailing attitude from ownership on down to light and now the players, Lee, is that Brady's here. We're not going to address it. We're moving forward. We don't have to talk about it. We have Tom Brady. And Lee, I'm not sure the fans disagree with that. I'm not sure they want to rehash. I think it's like almost who cares. But I'll tell you this, Lee, when Todd Bowles went into the media workroom after his general press conference that day, you know, I asked maybe five questions. And I sat 1 foot away from Todd Bowles. And this was my third question. Todd, you were not privy to every conversation between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. You weren't in the quarterback room all during the season to see the interaction. But Todd, you have instincts. You have instincts that you rely on. And I dare say that if there was a serious problem between Brady and Arians, you would have been aware of it, especially how close he was to Arians. So I asked him that, Lee. He didn't hesitate. And he went into this big monologue about how he sees everything out there. He's very aware of every practice, where people are standing. If you smoke, you know, if you're having a drink of water, he knows about it. He's got his head on a swivel. He sees everything that's going on. And he said absolutely no signs of any problems between Arians and Brady. And so nobody asked yesterday. And Lee, I'm starting to think Buck fans really don't care at this point.
The feedback that Steve and I get just from the comments on Joe Bucks fan, it just seems like what you said earlier, Ira, Bucks fans are like, we got Brady, let's go. They're not interested in the background as to why. I know there are people out there that are interested, and it is an interesting story. And I really don't care what anybody says, just on face value, what transpired the past month absolutely makes no sense. I mean, it doesn't. And that's why it invites so much speculation, to use my favorite Mike Florio phrase. Silence invites speculation. And he used that in his book, like in the fourth or fifth chapter. Silence invites speculation. So I love that. And by the way, great book, Playmakers. It's a great book. It's a great bathroom book. I don't say that in a derogatory manner. It's a great bathroom book. One of my favorite books I ever read in my life was Norman Chad's book about TV and media, sports media. And that was a bathroom book. The chapters were like 3 pages. So that's why I referred to it as a bathroom book.
Steve, with the time that I spend on the Golden Throne, I can knock off about 8 chapters. There's bits. You know, Steve, Leftwich is another guy that we haven't heard from at all. Crickets from Leftwich. Especially
when you do hear from them, it's crickets.
And Steve, especially the charge that's been leveled by a few people that, you know, after all this work during the week between Brady and Leftwich, here comes Arians, you know, messing things up and throwing things out and willy-nilly. And we don't hear anything from Leftwich. And we know how much Arians has supported Leftwich. He's been his mentor, you know, at every step of the way. He talks up Leftwich. Steve, here's one thing that's bothering me. I know you're going to tell me, Ira, you got to stop reading the comments. You got to stop looking at Twitter. But, you know, we look. We're in the business and we look. And Steve, I've read more than a few Buck call themselves fans. They can't wait to take pot shots at Arians now that he's gone. Lee, you've seen it.
I have not, actually.
I have. We got this lazy bones out of our system.
I've heard that when they hired Arians, so I pay no attention to that.
Do we have to mention they just won 29 games, Steve? Do we have to mention it? I mean, I don't know. They're in a hurry to bury a guy at the first opportunity.
Yeah, I couldn't take it the other day. Some guy was unloading on Arians, and you know he was saying all kinds of, he's lazy, and he was just a figurehead, blah, blah, blah. And I, like you said, I went back at him. I said, we talk about the same team that won 29 games, and that's just a coincidence that happened with Arians, and they won a Super Bowl, and they were, quote-unquote, this far away from returning the Super Bowl? Give me a break.
Some of it's just goofy to me, Ira, because working more doesn't necessarily mean you're working smarter or better. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. The guy who works the most doesn't win. Just go ask Todd Bowles in New York. I mean, it just doesn't work that way necessarily. So, yeah, you could call Arians lazy if you want to. The guy has been on record saying, I don't have staff meetings because everybody knows what to do. He said, I don't go on Zoom. That was his big thing during the pandemic. I don't do Zoom meetings, not one, never once, because I don't like it. I stay out of the way here. I don't touch Todd Bowles is awesome in the defense. I don't get involved there. My special teams coordinator may be failing, but he's my guy. And so you can make that case, but I don't believe that in the sense that he's running the ship, and I think he did an excellent job. But I don't believe it, but I could see why people make that case in relation to other coaches.
I'll use the Parcells crowd, and I mentioned this in a previous podcast with you guys. You can see those guys, the way Tannenbaum and Michael Lombardi refer to Arians, they think he's a joke. And basically what it boils down to is jealousy. When these guys work for Parcells, when these guys worked for Belichick, they were working, you know, 19, 18-hour days, maybe 20-hour days, 6-7 days a week. Arians comes in, he doesn't work that much, and yet they're winning just as much as Parcells and Belichick, and they're jealous.
There's a lot of ways to be successful. You know, Tony Dungy wasn't in the office at 9 o'clock at night. He won a lot of games. He's got a gold jacket. His bust is in the Hall of Fame, and he had a fantastic winning percentage. Now, you know, I know Lee is not enamored overly with Father Dungy, but his record is what it is. And he's top 10, you know, in winning percentage all time among coaches. You can't argue with that. He didn't have Peyton Manning in Tampa.
And that's why he didn't finish his career in Tampa.
But he won a lot of games, Lee. You know that.
And not the big games. And that's what counts.
I'm not arguing with you with Dungy. I'm not arguing with you. But I do want to know what you think. Your quick reaction, Sage, to Levante David saying that he played the playoff game at 60% last year when he returned. He came back at 60%, and he's still working on that Liz Frank injury 3 months later, and he hopes that he'll be 100% at training camp.
I don't like the word hope, not with a 32-year-old linebacker. Now, Levante David is still a very good football player. I don't think he's the same as when he was 27. Who is?
Yeah.
He might have lost a step. Lee, I don't think he was particularly adept at tackling in 2021, nor was the Buccaneers as a team. That was a bad tackling team.
I agree.
From Devin White, Levante David. Man, they missed a lot of tackles. The corners, the safeties, poor tackling. And we would hear about it every week from Todd Bowles, and it never got much better. Lee, and they didn't tackle well in the Rams playoff loss.
I know we're going to talk about the draft, and one of the guys that want the Bucs to draft, the reason why I'm so enamored with the guy, is this man tackles.
Well, then I want him. Then I want him. I wonder if you and I picked the same guy, Lee. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Sage, I know you're driving around town in that Cherry Red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. You love it so much. Sometimes you get home, you know, after you go to the refrigerator, because that's always your first stop. Sometimes you go give Cosmo a biscuit and you go under the sink and there's a leak. You got mold all of a sudden. You didn't even know what was going on for the last week. Who do you call?
You call Florida's Elite Restoration. Speaking of that, I had an inspection because I renewed my homeowner's insurance and it was a different company. And they sent out an inspector. First thing I see, the guy, he's got his head underneath my pipes, underneath the sink over there. He's checking for mold. That's the first thing they're checking for. And if you think there's any chance you might have an issue with mold, you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. It's got to be your first phone call.
Business owners like plumbers, air conditioning companies, property managers, you've got all kinds of clients that have disasters in their home, fire, wind, flood, mold. You need a company you can count on to take care of them, and that's Florida's Elite Restoration owner, Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster. Now he's on the other side, helping businesses like yours. Reach out to Josh, floridaseliterestoration.com, and he'll come and show you how Florida's Elite Restoration is honest and takes care of great companies like yours, as well as consumers. They're there 24/7, free assessments in people's home, inspections. And yeah, Ira, mold is a huge deal, but I think that that guy might have been looking for you. He took a one look at you, Ira, and he thought maybe this guy's got some chips under here that I can...
he found an old fajita under there, but no mold.
No mold. All right. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. And Sage, we do know you love that cherry red Ford Escape so much. And Bill Curry Ford, that's where you can buy one. And of course, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com.
But Steve, this is still a very good football team. And I'm waiting for the shoe to drop on Gronk and Sue. You make a very interesting point I never really thought of. When you say, you know, you're quoting Levante David saying, you know, he hopes his foot's better. You would think the doctors would have told him, hey, by June, if you do this and you do that, you lay off, you know, stay off your feet for a while, your foot will be fine. It didn't sound like that from him.
It was a little disconcerting.
All right, Sage, I just wanted to get your feeling on David. He basically said that he has a lot of rehab to do and he's got a team working on it. And he wasn't down at all and very expecting that he'll be ready, but it's been a long time. And it was a little upsetting, you know, when you get months from a season and you realize, oh gosh. So I don't expect to see him in OTAs at all, Ira. I would think he'll be there for training camp, but I think he's another guy who's going to be on the shelf. You know, there's a lot to see how Todd Bowles is going to handle this. Bruce Arians used to like to have his two fields going and all his younger players getting all these reps. There's no guarantee that Todd Bowles is going to do it that way. I was looking up in New York how he handled some of these OTAs and stuff, and I wasn't seeing too much of that. So, you know, things are going to be different. It's just a question of how. Jason Light, Ira, was talking about how he was on a Buccaneers.com video talking about how Bowles has an open door policy and Light goes by his office and always sees different players in there. And Bowles is really important to him to counsel players and figure out how to teach them and to be with them directly, communicate with them the way they need to be communicated with. And it got me thinking that if he's this really relationship guy, well, now he's going to be spread pretty thin. So some of those relationships on defense, I mean, there's only so many hours in a day. So it's going to get tougher for him to operate the way that he's used to operating. But Light also said how good he is at connecting with everybody. And that made me think, you know what, I guess it's possible that Bowles could become Tom Brady's favorite coach that he ever played for. Maybe he'll connect with him on a different level, a younger head coach in some ways than what he's used to. And maybe somehow that will be a thing. What do you think of all that?
Well, I know the Bowles at some point has tried to portray himself sort of as a Brady clone in temperament. Doesn't he say that there's a lot of similarities between him and Tom Brady? But, you know, if you bristle under Arians, if any of that is true, I got a problem with it, Lee. I got a problem with it.
I've said before, if this is true, what everybody's talking about, I think it says more about Tom Brady than it does Bruce Arians. I mean, look at the results. Look at the results. He got a Super Bowl. He damn near went back to a second Super Bowl when half the team was injured. Brady had some of his best seasons under Arians in his 40s. What's the problem?
And he was the runner-up for MVP. Steve, let me throw something out, Steve.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Sage, I never said anything about bristling. You brought that up. I'm talking about him having a much better relationship. Not that I'm not saying that was bad with Arians. I'm saying that you think there's a chance here that Bowles hits a new level with Brady. I mean, Brady hasn't played for a coach Todd Bowles' age in like 13 years. You know, maybe they can connect on a different level. Maybe somehow we Bucks fans can get lucky and Brady can say, I love this guy, Bowles. I've never connected with a head coach like this before. I'm on the same wavelength as this guy. Do you think that that's something that can happen here and that's going to be a focus for Bowles?
Steve, frankly, at this point, I don't know what Brady wants. I don't know what he wants. He played for a Martinet, for 20 years in Foxborough. Didn't like the way that thing was going. Hit the free agent market. And then played for the absolute opposite of Bill Belichick. And if we're to believe some of these Boston writers, Brady was miserable under Arians' tenure. I don't know what the guy wants, Lee. I think Bowles will be smart enough, Steve, to stay out of that quarterback room. If he goes in there, it'll be as an observer. I don't think he's got any intentions of messing with Leftwich, Christensen, and Brady. Let me change the order of that. Brady, Leftwich, and Christensen. and Tom Moore. You know, Bowles is going to have his hand full with this defense, especially if Sue doesn't come back. Lee and I go at it every week. I think they're thin on the D-line. We shall see. But I don't know. The jury's out on Bowles' head coach and relationship with the quarterback. I think that's a big jump to say Brady's going to thrive. How much more can you thrive? How much more can you thrive if you're Brady averaging 30 points? You're a runner-up as the MVP. You're at the top of your game. I mean, what's the next level, Lee?
Threw for 5,000 yards at 44.
And I want to say one more thing. I know we're winding down this podcast, and I don't want to shock everybody, but we're going to make our preseason predictions in August, Steve, but I'll give you an early taste.
Uh-oh.
Lee, if I'm a betting man, Lee, I want a little drum roll behind this, Stevie. A little drum roll. These two guys will not be on the 2023 Bucks. Tom Brady and Levante David. There, I've said it. I said it.
Not a crazy prediction.
Well, Ira, until the season gets closer, I'm obsessed with this contract for Brady for 2023 because I think, and this is something we're going to dive into further in the next podcast, I think that has to affect the draft. It's got to. If you don't know who your quarterback is, and we know the quarterback's the most important position on the field, it's got to affect how you approach the draft a little bit.
Steve, that would have a lot. That would have a lot more to it if this was a draft. You know, that had five or six quarterbacks that were willing to go in the first round, and maybe the Bucks could move up. Lee, this is a lousy draft for quarterbacks.
I can hear thousands of Bucks fans screaming right now at the top of their lungs. What about Kyle Trask?
What do you say to that, Isbitz? What do you say to that?
What about him? I got no problem with Kyle Trask, but essentially Bruce Arians said Kyle Trask is so bad I couldn't leave this franchise to Todd Bowles because we have Kyle Trask on the roster. I mean,
I never thought of that. That's a good point.
That's coming from the quarterback whisperer, not me. I mean, they basically said that. I mean, the guy's a second-year quarterback. He's not a rookie.
I'll just say this, and I'm not trying to trash the guy. Maybe the Bucks totally screwed up. I don't know. But of the top six quarterbacks drafted, Kyle Trask is the only guy that never took a snap. Forget the fact that he wasn't even active. Never took a snap.
All right, Ira, look, our next podcast, we're going to be diving into this draft and on a deeper level as we march toward the opening round on the 28th. But Ira, I think the broader question here with this draft surrounds that quarterback thing in some ways. Now, the Bucks are playing to win now, but you wrote a column about Jason Light having a balance and look toward the future. But the future is all about the quarterback. So I don't know. It's there's a lot to think about, Ira.
Well, I did write that column, and I said it's a balancing act because, generally speaking, the primary job of a general manager is to keep a vibrant roster sort of aiming to keep you competitive over a period of years. And, you know, you keep knocking at the door and eventually you're going to win, but you're built towards something. This is different. Lee, before you jump in and say, Ira, we got Brady in 2022 and that's what it's all about. I don't disagree, but he's not going to be here forever, Lee. In fact, I don't think he's going to be here past this season. And I think you might share that sentiment a little bit.
I think you're right.
And so the future's right around the corner, Lee. And, you know, it's an older team. By necessity, you got to surround Brady and maximize your chances. But, Lee, there's a good chance you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it post-Brady.
And I bet if you ask every Bucs fan, will you take a Super Bowl this year and suck for 5 years? Or would you take a wild card and maybe win 9 games next 5 years? They're going to say Super Bowl and suck for five.
They are. But, Lee, only one team wins it, Lee. Only one team.
Well, if you don't try for it, you'll never win it.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear you, Ira. Just what drives me a little bananas is Ryan Griffin as the number 4 quarterback. Can't we get another guy in here to show what this team is all about? Maybe a veteran who's looking to latch on that might be able to win a game or has got a little bit of experience. I don't get the Ryan Griffin thing. I'd even rather have
because he's number 4.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Steve, I don't know who picked this quartet of quarterbacks. I mean, the backups of Brady. I mean, is it Brady who said, bring Gabbert back? And did Brady have a hand in that? I assume he was asked.
Did they sign Gabbert before or after Arians quit? After, wasn't it?
Yes, after. All right, Sage, I don't know. I'm still hoping.
You and Gabbert, I remember. You lose sleep at night with this Gabbert.
I can't let a podcast go without mentioning him. Like,
you and backup quarterbacks and backup running backs.
And you and Kay Adams. There you go.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Why not?
All right, Ira, get out of here, and I'm just going to go home now and think about a 5th quarterback. Hopefully they'll draft a guy late and develop somebody here with, bring 5 to camp like Gruden used to bring 6. Well, let's bring 5.